Hey guys, this is Cole Kublik from WJOX in Birmingham and the SEC Network, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 717.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick!
Palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois and Eastern Virginia. It's the AU Wishbone Podcast, John. How are you tonight?
Very well, Van. How are you?
I'm good. I'm your host, Van Allen Plexico. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
Well, John, we got a few things going on this week, but first and foremost, we got a quarterback.
I've heard that's big.
Have we got a quarterback?
If he asks me that again, I'm putting his head through the window.
I think we've got a quarterback.
I've been told that's a big deal.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where it's not an insult to our existing quarterbacks to say you want to go out and get somebody that can maybe contribute. I mean, it's a competition. That's how competition works, right? You don't shy away from competition. You, unless you're TJ Finley, you buckle it up and get out there and you fight for your job. But, you know, when your completion percentage is 49%, then it's probably not a bad idea to go find somebody that has a little higher passing completion percentage, and then we'll see what happens.
My view is there's no position on Auburn's football team where I feel like we are the best in the SEC.
Right.
So what that means is we can upgrade everywhere.
Yep.
Every position. I don't care if we went and got another running back. Great.
Oh, yeah.
They're great.
Well, we did. We got Batty, or however you pronounce it. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the more the merrier. Bring them in. Let's have a competition. And you had a little quote here you highlighted in, like, extra blue here just to make sure I saw it and you didn't forget it there.
I just felt like it was ironic that in last week's show, we should even, like, play the audio at this moment. Van Plexico said on May 1st, 2023, I feel like we've lost all our momentum.
Wrong!
And the Auburn coaches said, oh, really?
Yeah, the Auburn fans said,
crush your enemies, see them driven before you,
and bring in a Michigan State quarterback. This is what is best in the SEC in life.
And that's what we did. We're bringing in a Michigan State quarterback that can wing it around, and we talked about him last week. He has a great name for a character on, like, a primetime soap opera.
There's Peyton Thorne. She's such a
beep, you know, but that's okay. I you know, he doesn't have, like, an SEC name, but we can work around it, you know. And if he can throw that ball and get the ball to those receivers, and if he can get us to bring in more receivers, which it seems like maybe he's doing too. You know, it's one thing to go court a high-profile wide receiver in the portal and say, you know, come to Auburn. We got this great new complex, and we're in the SEC. And they're like, okay, who's going to be throwing the ball to me? You know, but now we got somebody that's up in the 60s in percentage-wise. And again, I don't mean any of this as a negative toward Robbie. Robbie does awesome stuff. We love the Robbie. We love Robbie. But
yeah, we love Robbie, folks.
But he played, you know, he started half the season and nearly got killed because he plays a very physical style, or at least he did last year. It was all we had. So even if Robbie was the starter, chances are you're going to need somebody that knows what they're doing halfway through the season, or he's just going to get killed, and we don't want that. So now we can go out there and recruit honest-to-goodness receivers that wouldn't have otherwise maybe come. And
that's
pretty awesome. So, yeah, I will happily turn that around. I was very concerned and disappointed. Now I'm very excited. So what do you make about this guy?
I think the for Auburn, the floor of the quarterback play went up.
Yeah.
Right? The floor of the quarterback room was pretty low. If, you know, if Robbie was banged up at throwing incompletions and Gurner, you know, wasn't really ready next year, we'd be in deep trouble playing SEC teams. And now we got a guy who has, you know, years of experience playing in the Big Ten, was a two-time captain for his team, so he's a leader. He's a grad student, so we don't have to worry about any of this, oh, this is academic credits transfer stuff. None of that matters. And he was a very productive player and has played in a lot of big stadiums and a lot of big road games. None of that stuff's going to phase him. And when they had a good running game in 2021, mm-hmm. when Kenneth Walker III was there and they had a good offensive line, he was really productive.
Yeah,
he had a season that would honestly qualify as the second best offensive season by a quarterback at Auburn history if he had that same season here.
Good gosh.
He had 27 touchdown passes.
Yeah, wow.
In 2021. So, I mean, I think it's –
I think we had 2.7, but okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying, you know, he's going to come here win the Heisman Trophy or anything else, but I think he is an experienced, capable player. I think he's one of the better quarterbacks to change teams in the offseason, and I think Auburn is better now than we were before this. And he's a guy, he has 2 years of eligibility left, even as a grad transfer. So it's on a one-and-done situation.
So what you're saying is that he's Joe Burrow and next year is 2019 LSU. That's what I'm hearing.
No, I'm not saying that. But would you take first-year Jarrett Stidham?
Oh, yeah.
After the last year or two of quarterback play?
Oh, heck yeah. 2017 Jarrett Stidham was awesome.
Uh-huh. See, that's what I'm talking about. I'm in that. I think that's the, you know, that is the level that I'm kind of putting my expectations at for this.
Yeah. I watched a full highlight video of him last year, and of course that was the year that wasn't as good because it didn't have the running game and everything. The offensive line was very mediocre, and I didn't see a lot of downfield passes even attempted. But it was obvious from this cut up that all they had was him throwing the ball. They didn't even try to do anything else, it seemed like. And but here's what I'm getting at is, it seemed like in the shorter passes he was throwing, he was very accurate with them.
Yes. He's very accurate. He was really good in the year they had Kenneth Walker III. He was great on play action, taking advantage of that running game. When he did play action and he, you know, faked the handoff, he was, you know, accurate with the football, but also taking advantage of what the defense did. He was also very good against the blitz that year. So a lot of good numbers with the other team blitzed. He knew what to do with the ball, knew where to go with it, reading the defense and where the offensive players were, and could deliver it accurately, which is something we haven't had in a while.
Yeah. So, well, that's very encouraging. I mean, honestly, like Mira asked me, you know, what does that mean for the team? I said it could conceivably mean one or two more wins just straight up off the top. You know, beyond that, 100%. We don't even know. But it puts us in – games that before at best were toss-ups. Now we have a real shot. And I'm talking about games like Arkansas and Ole Miss, games that we did not have down as absolute wins. We're like, we'll have to just see what happens. Well, now we have a little better feeling about what might happen, right? Because we know that this team has talent on it. It's not, like you said, it's not best in the SEC talent, not yet, but it's got enough talent on it to be in games with most teams, and that's more than we had 6 months ago, and it's all we can really ask for right now. Just give us a chance in the winnable games, you know, in the ones that aren't just going to be blowouts or whatever. And then, of course, we got those in at home, so who knows, man? You never know.
If you had told me, you know, the day after the Alabama game, and when the season ended a few months ago, that this would be the current state of the Auburn roster, I would not have believed you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I heard one podcast or something saying that Thorne was going to a team with a better offensive line, and I'm like, when has that ever been said about us in the last 7 years, you know, or however long? It's like, wow, come to Auburn to play behind a better offensive line. We used to say that, but it's been a little while, you know. It's been a bit of time has passed. since we were able to say that. So, yeah, that's exciting. It's really, really good.
The other stuff, he's a leader, and I think he's good at that kind of stuff. I think he's a, you know, he's a veteran. He's not going to be rattled by anything. And I think he, you know, can make plays, and we can be effective throwing the ball. We felt, you know, before A-Day that this team could run the football.
Yeah.
With the offensive line players they brought in, Jarquez Hunter, we felt like they could run the ball. And now, you know, I feel like we're going to be able to throw the ball a little bit.
A little bit. Well, the other side of that equation, though, is receivers. And we know we have Fairweather at tight end that can catch the ball. But now, and we've got, I guess, what, Camden Brown coming back, maybe a couple other guys. But
Coy Moore, Javaris Johnson.
Coy Moore, yeah. But now we've got this Ohio State guy, Caleb Burton, come in. I don't care who you are. If we got you away from Ohio State, I call that a win.
Listen, especially Ohio State at wide receiver. There's some other positions where I'd be like, oh, that's great. But still,
yeah,
their wide receiver room is the best in the country, and it's not close. And the, you know, this guy redshirted last year when they had, you know, they had two guys get drafted 2 years ago in the first round. They had guys get drafted this year, and they got the single best player in college football coming back in the wide receiver room for next year, Marvin Harrison Jr. So it's not a crime that you can't get on the field as an Ohio State wide receiver recruit. At the same time, the school that recruited all these studs and went to the NFL saw this guy and said, we want him. And so the talent is there. The explosiveness is there. So I'm excited about him. I'm interested to see, you know, what he can do. And honestly, the most intriguing and exciting player on offense to me right at the second. I don't know.
Interesting that he's kind of a smaller guy. I keep seeing the numbers on him, and they said like six. I saw like 5'11", 175 or something, which probably means like 5'10", 170. And so he's more of a slot receiver kind of guy, but he might turn out to be a.
He's a home run guy. He's not a Ryan Davis nickel dime down the field guy. He's a big play guy.
Okay. All right. And then the other receiver that we are kind of looking at let me see. Wait a minute. Where did it go?
Well, Jair Shorter, that's the one guy you were thinking about.
Jair Shorter, 6'2", more in the freeze mode of a big outside receiver that can create space and create separation and catch the ball, have a big catch radius and all that.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think Auburn – would take another receiver if they get one of these top guys they want. So I think he's an option. That Montana Lamonius Craig guy from Colorado that had the big spring game for them visited, I think he's an option. And then the other guy, Thorne's teammate Keon Coleman, is not a big receiver, but is another good, solid receiver who has good chemistry with him, visited Auburn. So
he was their leading receiver last year, Michigan State. Mm-hmm. So... Right, so there's a number coming in. Let me kind of – we've kind of added a bunch of stuff here between the two of us. Let me see. All right, so we talked about Caleb Burton maybe coming in, Ohio State guy, smaller guy, maybe a slot guy, but you say more of a big play guy, so we'll see what they do with him. I'm not really sure where you line him up. And I'm not sure that Thorne's forte is chucking the deep ball like that, but maybe he can create something
I think, and you Auburn fans may be familiar with this concept, I don't think he had a lot of time to throw the deep ball last year.
There you go. All right, I'm going to work my way down our list here, even though it bumps around a little bit. Jalen McLeod, Appalachian State, edge rusher. We certainly needed that.
Yes, another guy, and another dramatic position of need, like quarterback and wide receiver, and they filled it. They went and made them stuff happen. They've got this guy. Kind of a smaller guy at that position in terms of like weight or whatever, but a guy that's very quick off the edge and absolutely relentless, made a bunch of plays in their upset of A&M last year.
I was going to say, go watch the Texas A&M highlights, and you'll have a good time with that because he just terrorizes them, their offense, yeah.
And then Justin Ferguson was quoting some stat that said on a per play basis, he was the third most productive pass rusher in the country last year.
Sounds good to me. Sign him up. Let's get him out there. You have a note about a new offensive line transfer. What's that? I didn't catch that.
I don't have a name, although the other guy from Tulsa is supposedly out there, Muskrat or whatever.
Oh, Muskrat. I love Muskrat. That's just the greatest name ever.
But tonight, the offensive line coach for Auburn was tweeting a bunch of eagle emojis and stuff and exclamation points. So people think it means something. It means maybe one of these guys committed.
All right. Well, we can use another one, I'm sure. There's no problem.
Well, I think a guard, you know,
yeah,
we have a couple of guys coming back who could play guard, but if one of these guys is better, bring him in. Yeah. Just like we said with the quarterback thing. If we can make him better, bring him.
Let's do it. Yeah, all right. And we've got the and we talked about Jair Shorter is the bigger receiver, more of an outside guy. We'll see in the traditional freeze mold. I like a variety of targets. I like the idea of a short, fast guy, a big, tall guy. That's in addition to Mardner that we brought in from Cincinnati, the ones we already have. It's starting to look a lot better at wide receiver than it did just a couple of days ago. Now, we don't know about Shorter yet, and we don't know about the Michigan State guy, but the possibility's there, and certainly more likely now than it was. Which one was it that was saying I was hearing somebody was talking about how one of the receivers visited like a couple, 3 weeks ago before we got Thorne. And the reporter asked him, what'd you think? And he's like, that's all right. You know, it's an impressive place or whatever, but I don't know. And then he's like, it may have been Burton. And then he comes back and he's like, oh, yeah. Well, if you got a quarterback, now we can talk, you know. So let's see. Keon Coleman is the Michigan State one. He visited. Has he visited already? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think he was there this past weekend.
Okay, yeah, this past weekend. Montana Limonius Craig. That's such an Auburn name. He has to come. I mean, that's like an Auburn name.
I agree.
Right there. Yeah, that's like Nate Craig Myers or whatever. It's his brother, his spiritual brother, Montana Limonius Craig.
Well, but also like a little Corey Lemonnier in there.
Yeah, sure. Visited Auburn April 29th. We'll see. Maybe we'll look at another pass rusher, another edge guy.
I think so. Again, a week ago, that room is down to the Vanderbilt guy who had one season left, you know, at two true freshmen. So getting this guy from App State, Jalen McLeod, is big. But I think there's another defensive end, pass rusher, edge guy in the portal from James Madison. I think they're looking at that guy. And if they could get him, that'd be big too.
And both of these receivers we're talking about that might come in have 2 years left, which is better than one, obviously. Not as good as four, but better than one. So, and we've had Mardner so long, we've kind of forgotten about him.
We still haven't gotten to see what he can do. You're right.
That's right. He didn't really get to do anything in the A-Day game in the downpour there. Not that I know if they would have done much anyway, but yeah. Anything else while we're happily bubbly celebrating the football portal giveth and not taking away as much?
Well, I want to move to the takeaway and talk about TJ Finley for a minute. He transferred out.
Yeah.
And, you know, he came in and saved our bacon against Georgia State.
He did.
And I appreciate that, and I wish him the best of luck in his future endeavors.
That was one of the more popular tweets I've tweeted in the last several months where I said, you know, it's easy to slam him or whatever. But remember, we don't lose. You and I have talked about this for years. We don't lose to those kind of teams. We just don't. Alabama has, LSU has, you know, Florida has, but we've never lost. We decided, right, that the most lowly team we've lost to in the modern era, going back to before Pat died, the most lowly level team we've lost to were the 2 years to Southern Miss. And Southern Miss, as we just talked about last week, is not a slouch. That's a good program.
No.
Historically. And they had Brett Favre one of those years, so come on.
And
right?
They beat Alabama one of those years, too.
Yeah, and Florida State, too. Yeah. So that's fine. So we don't lose to – but my gosh, the last 10 years or so, we've come awfully close with Jacksonville State, with Utah State, with Georgia State, right? We've played We played with fire. Even when the fire was a little toy match, we still played with it to see if it would set us on fire.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the more recent ones where we had one of our great escapes from the Cupcake or Directional Institute. And he did. He came. I said on Twitter, Bo Nix, bless his heart, Bo Nix was going to lose that game. He was not doing anything against Georgia State. And dang, if Finley didn't come in and move the ball down the field and score, and we won the game. And so I'm not, you know, obviously Bo Nix is a far better quarterback than T.J. Finley under most circumstances. But in that game on that day, T.J. Finley was what we needed, and he was there, and he delivered. And so if for nothing else, I mean, you know, and he almost beat Alabama. I mean, it really he didn't do a lot to help us on some plays, but we wouldn't have been in that position, I don't think, without him either. Now, with a better quarterback, we'd have just won that game, period. But, you know, he did his part in it and kept us in it and scored in overtime and everything. So
I think that's fair.
Yeah. So, all right. So where's he going to end up? Where do you think?
Like Nichols State or something like that.
Yeah. Well, he'll be great. I mean, he'll be really good there, no doubt about it. I don't know if you've seen, John, but the baseball team had a big week the last few days. We haven't talked much about the baseball team because they've been kind of blah so far. But man, they cranked it up.
They were kind of blah. And they had two great pitchers last year. One of them, Gonzalez, has been hurt all this year and hasn't pitched. And the pitching has been not good, especially the relief pitching.
Yeah.
But they turned it around and they won the last two huge series. Against South Carolina and Ole Miss, I mean, against South Carolina and LSU.
Yeah.
And those are both top teams. So that was a gigantic win.
Number one and number two in the country.
And the game they lost to LSU was the Friday night game when LSU pitched the guy that's probably going to be the top three pick in the Major League Baseball draft. Mm-hmm. And we lost close to that guy. So there's no shame in that.
Wow. All right. And I was seeing how, you know, we're like fighting and clawing our way back up to respectability, winning series over the number one, number two teams in the country. And next up, we got Ole Miss and Missouri, who are not nearly as good. So hopefully we won't let down. And if we can, like, you know, throw some more wins up there against more manageable competition, you know, all of a sudden we're looking at postseason maybe or something. Maybe we can you know, have a good seed in the SEC tournament, do well there, and then carry that over, you know, so. Well, our patron, Samuel Salvatore, I'll go ahead and jump ahead to the listener questions because I was afraid we would lose it if I tried to fit it somewhere for you to put in listener questions. So I just wanted to go ahead and stick it here. He wrote in and said, wow, how about our baseball team winning back-to-back series against number two and number one teams in the country? Butch Thompson is a hell of a coach. And he said, Alabama also has lost control of their sports conduct, and I love it. And I got to say, Samuel, I agree about – there's nothing in that comment he said that isn't true. And I'm here for every bit of it.
Butch Thompson's very impressive.
Do we want to talk about Alabama? We're going to do it around the SEC.
We're saving it for around the SEC.
Save it for the end, for around the SEC. All right. The softball team, ladies, have the number three seed in the SEC tournament. I thought they weren't doing as well, but maybe I guess they've turned it on a little bit.
Like the baseball. We got a couple of listener emails about that.
Good.
So. But yeah, it's like the basketball tournament where the top four teams get the double bye, so it's huge for them to get the three seed.
Oh, good, excellent. I didn't realize that. All right. I'm really wondering how that's going to change once Texas and Oklahoma come in, because that's going to shift things around a little bit, but maybe not too much.
Well, in that sport, it will, because they're great at softball. But yes.
Yeah. In basketball, we hadn't talked about basketball. Flan is gone. Nobody is shocked. I don't think anybody is surprised. The only question is, where will Alan Flanagan transfer to? And I have my suspicion, but we'll see.
Well, the SEC does not allow in-conference transfers in the spring portal.
Ah.
He would have to get a waiver from the conference to go to Ole Miss.
Okay.
Now, maybe they would give it to him because his dad is an employee there now, and that would be reason to be like, hey, I want to play with my dad or whatever.
Well, it may be what he's been waiting on all this time.
It may be, but I mean, I think he was graduating, I think. So okay. He's a grad transfer as well. So he doesn't have to worry about the academic parts or the actual
transfer window doesn't matter. He's going to Ole Miss, so it's good he doesn't have to worry about the academic part.
Or he may not go there, right? I mean, if he doesn't want to play there or if he can't get the waiver, he may go somewhere else.
That's true. And meanwhile, we were courting, no pun intended, that Florida State player, Matthew Cleveland, but it looks like he's going to Miami.
He is going to Miami. So, again, Miami has been pretty freaking good the last 2 years and will be good again.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's kind of out of nowhere with that coach that that was the where was he before that he was
George
good?
Mason.
Oh, he was the 100 years ago. He was the George Mason guy. Yeah, I have to admit I have enjoyed watching. I did enjoy watching Miami this year because I kept thinking, oh, they're going to make another run, and I got a few points on the pick 'em on the brackets off of Miami, saying that they were upset a couple of teams, and they did. All right, well, that takes us to halftime, more or less. So let me go ahead and thank our patrons. Excuse me. I'm kind of rough voice tonight. Before we do the patrons, I'll just go ahead and point this one out so I can forget about it. We do have Fantasy Formula One going, and we had a rare back-to-back weekend of races. We had the Miami Grand Prix, where people paid thousands of dollars to watch cars drive around a parking lot of a football stadium. It's probably the fastest cars have ever moved around a parking lot, honestly, because usually you're in the parking lot of a football stadium, you're going about 0 miles an hour, but there they were. It's not the greatest facility ever, but it looks pretty cool on TV, and of course we Americanize it all up and make it look stupid with the jerseys and the helmets and everything in there. That was kind of neat.
The player introductions were so dumb.
I didn't see that part. I just fast-forwarded through all that. Whew. Well,
so dumb.
That I just assume they ripped off the Indianapolis 500 because they introduced the player, they introduced the drivers at the beginning of the Indy 500 every year. So probably just trying to get in on that. Did they do it like a football game or something? Oh, geez.
Like a basketball introductions or something. It was.
I had to go back and watch it. I skipped through all that. I was doing something else, and I was really late to it, and so I just fast-forwarded all the way to the beginning, which is the best way to do it, honestly. Skip all the other stuff. Did see Danica Patrick running around. Well, anyway, so we've had another race, and there's been a big shifting around on the board. So here are the top 10. Number one is Tiger Transit. Number two is Teamy McTeamface. Number three is Cheeky Nando's. Number four with a bullet up several spots this week is Scuderia Toro Plexico. Yeah, up to number four, John, up to number four. Sir Bacon the First at five. Scuderia Aquila Guerra, which is War Eagle, at six. Albemobile, there's the Albemobile I always crank up, at number seven. Number eight is Mississippi Racing, which I think is where Alan Flanagan's going to be driving. Number nine is Solitaire, and number 10 is Smokescreen 44. All right, so Boris is lurking just below there at number 13. He came up a little bit this week, too. So, yeah, basically what's working in Fantasy Formula One right now is have the Red Bull guys, have Fernando Alonso, have Red Bull and Aston Martin, and then find some two other drivers you can fit under the salary cap. If you want to play, and it has only been a few races so far, if you want to join in and play and join the fun, go to www.auwishbone.com, click on the button to become a patron. Once you sign up and become a patron, then you can go to the post from a couple of months ago on there. It's easy to find. I don't post stuff on there very often. That takes you through to the Fantasy Formula One page. You can create your own teams. You can create two teams and join our league and have lots of fun. So right now I have to thank the patrons that we currently have. And as always, go to www.auwishbone.com, click on the big orange button. You can put whatever you like as your name within reason, and or sometimes sound effects cues, and I will do my best to translate that over into your introduction. Here now are the fine folks keeping the AU Wishbone podcast alive. This is our what we call our AU Wishbone family. And here are the patrons. They include Samuel Salvatore, the aforementioned one, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Boris the Tiger's Burner account, Carl Von Drunker, Logan Chilton, Ann Kangian, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor says...
No!
That's right. We'll have more of that coming. Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden. Here's one.
Dispel once and for all with this fiction.
Because Auburn is the only team from the state to make the Final Four. Amen. Our continuing favorite combination sound effect.
Tonight's forecast. A freeze is coming. I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
That's right. Let's see. 76 Tiger Esquire, Sleazy Shyster, and Health Inspector Liaison for...
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage!
That's right. You know it. You love it. Alex Brown's Bleeds Orange and Blue, Blynn Budworth... Gets me with that now. Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, Dan Thompson, Earl Ricks, Bobby. Free throws are expensive. Let's see. Oh, random sound clip is going to be...
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Freeze. Freeze. Ice. Freeze. Ice. Winter. Five. Frozen. Ice. Freeze. Winter. Ice. Ice. Freeze. Winter. Winter. Freeze. Cold. Frosty.
I love Frosty at the end. That one cracks me up.
Frosty.
Frosty. Jacob and Robin Fleming. Jarquez Hunter for Heisman. Woo. Catherine England. Kevin Smith. Lane Middleton. Logan, Mickey B, No One Fights Like Gaston, Algo Rhythm and Blues, I'm so hoarse tonight, Paul Miles, possible episode title for tonight, Every Rose Has Its Thorn or Thorn in My Side. What do you think about those two?
I like it. Again, I made a Thorn Birds joke this weekend. That was okay.
Nice. And the kids had no idea what you were talking about.
Was it, as I said, it was a 1983 joke. So
yes, yeah. Well, I remember the Thornbirds. I do. I didn't watch it, but I remember it was the next big miniseries from Chamberlain after Shogun, I believe. Let's see. Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, Van, let's hear your best impression of Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. Okay, it's back to me again. And I'm all hoarse tonight, so Jones Barbecue Foot Massage. Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
Please clap.
There you go. That's the best I can do tonight. I'm sorry. Warhammer 6, WDE Richie. I don't get why Marvel doesn't use the Hulk to advertise more. He's basically one big banner. Oh, hey-o. Ho, ho.
Please clap.
That's a good one. That's oh, wow. Man. That's one that that Will Collier would just tweet you back a picture of Charles Barkley making a face like, what the crap are you talking about? Wes Atkinson, where do you make a banana split? In Sunday school. Woo, hey-o.
I don't have facts to back this up.
That's right.
I like the dad jokes in the listener.
Yeah, we're in that section of it now. We're in that section right now.
It's William the off-season. Morgan. Keep bringing the dad jokes.
Keep bringing it. Absolutely. Wilson Beard, Wynn Carroll. I wonder if Wilson Beard goes by Coach Beard, because that's totally what I would call myself if my last name was Beard. Wynn Carroll, Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson, Dibama, Hugo Sleaze's Tales of Woe 2022, The Fall of Sleaze to the Unstoppable Juggernaut that is UConn with a first-year head coach. Wow, that one kind of, that was like a novel for television there, speaking of the Thornbirds. Josh Teal, Just Wait Till Next Year, Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Melissa Blackstone, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, and our one-time anonymous donor, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Spider-Man has a winter jacket made of Mediterranean flatbread. It's called a Pita Parka. Yeah, we had that one last week, but it's an evergreen classic. The last no. Okay. Oh, the last no. Well, I got to play it all the way through, so let's emphasize the last no. Here we go.
No! No!
John is suffering a little.
No, I'm devastated. I'm devastated, and they're celebrating right in front of me. This is the worst. This is the worst.
And here it is.
No!
That last no. Oh, the last
no. It is
no.
That last no. Just, you feel it.
He's gone through all the stages of grief. He's pointed out what the enemy is, the adversary is doing right there in front of him. He's suffered. He's spilled out his, bared his soul to us. And you think, all right, now he's found some measure over the course of this torture. He's found some measure of solace and acceptance. No.
It, you know, the thing about that clip is it's a fan going through it like any of us. That it's real.
It is. Yeah. I could see Jim Fife doing that back in the day. It would have been fun, too. All right, last few. Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle87, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram, Alex Nguyen, Ben Amos, Ben Regas, Brian Albanese. Can you guys do the barbecue show live streamed and on location at
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage?
We are discussing ideas for the barbecue show. You broached the subject.
If there are other suggestions besides this one, please let us know.
Okay. Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, Colonel Dad, a.k.a. Ari Benzina, Mr. My Category, yes, sir. Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, Darren Pyle, Elizabeth Donald, Escort Hugh Freeze elsewhere. We
got to get better at celebrating.
I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull, Albrecht, Jeremiah Schumann, Jim Ricori, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rain says,
"You have failed me for the last time."
To the barbecue, a.k.a. Auburn Dad for life. Mark Squire, MVP, captivating Kathy Bright.
"You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you."
My bracket is busted, but I'm still Tiger, exclusive mouse catcher for
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
Yum. New York Tiger says to the Rangers, "You failed me." Oh, New York Tiger says to the Rangers, you all right. He uses some like codes, like it's a Prince song title. So let me walk through this again. New York Tiger says to the Rangers,
"You have failed me for the last time,
but we'll be all in again next hockey season." There we go. Paul Banks, nice economical use of the space. Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky. I'm at the bottom of this list because
Scott Wilson!
Hawaii, you can, the monkey boy.
That's right. Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Why Are You Booing John? He's Right, Brant Rumble, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. Yeah! There you go. Thank you so much. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And now it's time for
guests. Before we click that button.
Not doing it.
Breaking news on the podcast.
Uh-oh. We still don't have a breaking news sound. Our 11th year of this program, and we still don't have an actual official breaking news. That shows you how often we get to break the news on here.
No, we do have one, and it's you going do 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 do.
Okay.
Jaden Muskrat committed to Auburn.
Hey!
From Tulsa.
We got the Muskrat. Isn't there like a Muskrat love song?
There is. You can go find that. That could be another clip for this fall. He played tackle at Tulsa, but he's a shorter guy, so the thinking is he's going to play guard at Auburn. So somebody can come in and compete at guard. I think it's good. Good, good, good.
More depth. More depth on the O-line.
More depth and more talent. And experienced players, too.
Imagine if Gus could have brought in offensive linemen the way we've been doing this year. He might still be here. Maybe. Possibly. Anyway. All right. You ready for Guess the Game?
Bring it on.
Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game number 91. Guess the Game 91 is brought to you by Bill Miner. So let's see what Bill sent in.
This time in the backfield. They'll give it to around left end. 35 for the hole. 40, 45, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. Foot race to the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Auburn! 70 yards. Gives Auburn a 23-17 lead.
Okay, guys, I will see you in the hint file.
I think I know that one.
The announcer was?
That was Rod.
Which means what time frame?
About 2003 to 2018.
Okay. And it was a home game because you heard the crowd roar when the player took off. It was an end around for 70-yard touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a sense?
Yeah. I think I know which game. I think I know exactly what it is.
Is it a Corey Grant play?
No, but you're in the ballpark.
Is it Ontario McCaleb?
Yes.
Okay. But it made it 23-17 Auburn.
Before the extra point.
Okay, which was 24-17. So what do you think it is?
John, I believe that is the play, that is our scoring play after Cam's Heisman run.
In the LSU game.
Yes. I believe Cam's Heisman run gave us 17 points, and then LSU tied it up at 17, and then McCaleb did that long run in the fourth quarter that made us win 24-17. So 2010 okay. LSU at home. I think that's what it is. What do you think?
I like it.
You feel good about it?
I do.
All right, let's go to the hint, and we'll see if it looks
like. Let's get rid of those bleeps and find out who was moving super fast down the field.
This time McCaleb in the backfield. They'll give it to McCaleb around left end. McCaleb, 35 for a hole, 40, 45, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. Foot race to the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Auburn! 70 yards. Ontario McCaleb gives Auburn a 23-17 lead.
There you go. I will see you guys in the answer file.
So it was definitely McCaleb, so I think that's what it is. Okay, it's just funny because I don't know if I ever heard Rod's version of it. I heard, you know, the CBS
version.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was not 100% sure, because I'm not sure I've ever heard that before. But I definitely think it's that's the score. I think that's the player. Everything kind of matches up. So, all right, here we go.
John, Van, you guys may have figured out that this is our beloved Auburn Tigers playing LSU. In 2010, everybody remembers the big Cam run for touchdown,
yep.
But it was this Ontario McCaleb run that iced that cake for us.
Yep.
And I want to thank Bill Miner for remembering that and sending this in.
Thank you, Bill.
If you'd like to send in a suggestion like Bill did for Guess the Game, I can be found at lots of different places. I am at Yard Sale Artist on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can email me, Jared, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, Van, John, Wariggle. Look at me
now. That's a great play. I love it. I mean, just because, you know, one of us knows them, you nailed it last week, and I knew that one, doesn't mean it's not
No, and it's still a good play. That was a fun one from Bill Miner, and thank you, Jared, for doing this every week. It's still a fun game. I'm enjoying it.
Absolutely.
Listen, we have a very specific set of skills, and they involve the Auburn football minutia.
Yes. Yeah, that is a great play. I've thought a lot about how everybody – it's like just exactly what Jared said. Everybody remembers the Cam run, but that didn't win the game. It just kept us, you know, in it. And then the McCaleb run, he had so many big plays that year that kind of got overshadowed by Cam.
But the threat of Cam – makes that play because the defense is going in the direction he's going.
Yeah, and then they come on a reverse the other way with McCaleb, yeah. And in the Iron Bowl, McCaleb had some huge, like, dump passes where, you know, where Cam would draw the defense into the middle and then he'd just toss it over their head to McCaleb, who would zoom around the outside and get, you know, go down the left sideline. So he had some huge plays that year. He was really – I mean, every piece – on the board mattered that year, you know. I mean, they all contributed. That was a backfield. I mean, Michael Dyer and Ontario McCaleb, those two alone, you know, lightning and more lightning. And then you had we had Mario Fannin, in case anybody needed to fumble. Oh, hey!
Caught some passes out of the backfield.
But Fannin had his moments in an Auburn uniform. We kid about him fumbling in some key locations, but he did drive us crazy with that. But Fannin had some games where he was the man, you know, over the years there. I think in 2007 as a freshman he had some big games before he hurt his shoulder. I think it was his injury that kind of made him easier for him to fumble. When they'd hit him on the shoulder, it would his arm, you know. But before that, he was a man. So, well, he still was, but he was the man. All right. Anyway, I guess it's time to bang the gavel.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
There they are.
All right. What do we got?
First questions from Auburn Elvis, who says, can we get an update on that guy who doesn't think the softball coach is good enough? And we have that update.
Oh, okay.
The next email is from Kato.
Well, that worked out real well. Nice job, guys. All right.
Yeah. And so Kato, the subject line of his email is Matty Pinta's softball dominance. He says, hey, fellas, this email goes out in honor of Matty Pinta, who is dragging Mickey Dean, kicking and screaming, into the SEC tournament as a 3 seed, a double bye, and a good chance of hosting a regional. Comparing games when Pinta pitches versus when she doesn't, Auburn is 27-5 overall when she does pitch and 12-11 when she does not.
Wow.
It is even more stark looking at conference play. In the SEC games, Auburn is 13-2 when Pinta pitches and 2-7 when she doesn't. Even her two losses were close, both one-run losses to a really good Georgia team and a middle-of-the-pack Florida team. It looks like Gene Chizik has finally found his Cam Newton at his first season above 500 conference play in 6 years. Don't be surprised if you hear he's changed his name to Coach Matty Dean by the end of the year. Thanks, Kato the Pentastan.
There you go. Well, I guess we're all in with the softball then.
But also, I appreciate it. Everybody wanted to hear what Kato thought about Coach Dean when the team's doing well, and he laid it out there.
He laid it out. Yeah, I didn't know all that. That's why we're glad to have listeners that are very knowledgeable about stuff that we don't follow as closely. So that's great.
All right. That is it for listener questions.
There you go. All right. Well, remember, send in your listener questions to John either at auwishbone@gmail.com or on Twitter at jkringer or at auwishbone. I think that's our Twitter thing. I haven't looked at it in a long time. And, all right. Otherwise, we're going to crank up the aforementioned Albemobile, and we're going to get out on the Formula One track, and they're going to...
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
There they are.
This is my new favorite sound effect, by the way.
So, Van, don't bet on sports.
Wrong!
In particular... Don't bet on sports when your job does not allow you to do so.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
One of the things about that, and again, we've had a bunch of NFL players got suspended because they were literally betting on sports when they were inside the team facilities.
Oh, man.
Because the apps and stuff say, we're going to access your location, and they do.
Oh, wow.
So in this case, the Alabama baseball coach got fired for gambling. He was on the phone with a guy placing bets against Alabama baseball when the coach knew like their best pitcher wasn't going to pitch. He bet against his own team.
That's
against
incredible.
LSU.
You know, the Alabama baseball coach, the former Alabama baseball coach, he's like working on what he's going to say. He's, you know, he's getting ready. He's going to be all like,
you are out of order. You're out of order. You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order.
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
Listen, Alabama Athletics.
He's just practicing in the drive-thru. Go ahead.
Alabama Athletics, a well-oiled machine, everybody professionally competent, doing what they're supposed to do and saying what they're supposed to say, focusing on the important thing.
Except Alabama baseball.
No, I mean, they all are screwed up. Basketball is off.
Oh, wait, Alabama basketball.
Again, Nick Saban keeping on the straight and narrow. He has players screw up and he kicked him off the team. So
wow. When Nick Saban is the paragon of virtue on your coaching staff, you know something's a little
it occurs.
Yeah, but not very often. Not very
often.
And
so it made me think a lot, like it is stunning that we have not had a betting scandal in college football. Especially in the pre-NIL era, when the players couldn't have a job and didn't have any money, and you could go pay some kicker $500 to throw a game or whatever, how did we not have a scandal? So it's shocking. So now Iowa and Iowa State announced this afternoon they've suspended a whole bunch of players for betting on athletics.
Holy cow. Iowa
like
and
across
Iowa
multiple
State.
Sports. Yes. Baseball, football, other things too.
Good grief. Well, I guess if you're living in Iowa or Iowa State and playing football, you're probably pretty bored otherwise, so you got to find something to do. But betting on your own team or betting on whatever, that's just not cool. There's better things to do, I promise.
Well, go even get if they tattoo, were betting on other stuff, as a college athlete, that's a no-no.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought we determined all that like 30, 40 years ago with the Tulane thing and there was a whole lot of stuff that went down, and then that's amazing. Well, so what's Alabama doing for a baseball coach right now?
And again, we're at the end of the season. The interim coach is coaching the last few games and not talking to the media.
So. They're going to come to the SEC tournament, and the commissioner is going to be standing there, and the team comes out, and he's going to be, "Am I to understand that you men completed your season by yourselves?" And Alabama's going to be like, "That's the fact, Jack. That's the fact, Jack." Yeah, that's what I want to see. There's another blast from the past. We're just all over the 80s tonight. That's awesome.
Exactly what's going to happen.
That's exactly it, yeah. Now I got to put that one on here. More sound effects I got to bring in. Well, are we to the bottom? We're to the bottom of our agenda. Look at that.
We made it.
We blew through it. We expedited things. We did expedited delivery tonight.
Listen, every show can't be 2.5 hours.
It could be. It should be, but it won't be. And maybe it shouldn't be.
I was going to say, if you think every show should be 2.5 hours, you let us know.
Yeah. I think they're perfectly happy that they're not all 1.5 hours long, because we usually have that much stuff to cover. But we covered everything tonight. I think we're good.
Yeah. No, that was pretty good.
I think we covered everything fine. All right. Well, any final thoughts as we get on out of here?
Well, listen, we got the quarterback transfer. Yes. The Auburn football team is in a much better place than it was a week ago when we finished this podcast. And look forward to seeing what other developments occur.
It's not over yet. More stuff is coming. We just got the muskrat while we were on the air. And that will not be the last rodent to fall or domino or something. I don't know. My metaphors.
Marsupial?
My metaphors have gotten totally mixed at this point. That's all right. We'll get more players. It's all going to be good. I can't wait. Man, this season, I can already feel it. We may not go 14-0 or whatever, but this is going to be a fun season, John. And we're going to be right there covering it. I can't wait.
Look forward to it.
Hope I don't get hit by a bus tomorrow. Amen. On that note, our time is up. We thank you for your support, John.
Roger, Ben.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.